One of my favorite people in the world, Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty, is with us today, and I am so delighted to have you here because there's so much news to discuss. Let's talk about, first of all, the firing of Secretary of State Tillerson. What do you make of that?
Well, the firing of the Secretary of State, not really that surprising, although certainly I don't think I'd want to be fired in a tweet publicly. It's pretty humiliating way to go and pretty typical of the way this president operates. Here's the bottom line, though. You've got, you know, Secretary Tillerson has overseen the State Department where he's been slashing the budget, where he's been, you know, certainly not consistently countermanding the chaos in the White House about our position in the world and what our policies are. We've seen a lot of confusion, some words being issued by one person one day and countermanded the next day. That has not been good for our standing in the world. So I think the morale is very low in the State Department. Diplomats feel under siege. The White House has done far from assisting any of that. And so I'm not surprised, but it just adds to the chaos. It adds to the chaos. And that is not good for America's standing in the world. I think that makes us look weak and unable to be governed or directed. And again, there's unconventional and there's irresponsible. No one should confuse the two. And the president firing by tweet and this sort of behavior is, I think, you know, not just unconventional. I think it's irresponsible, and it adds to a sense within the country and outside the country with our allies as well as our enemies that America is in chaos. And that's dangerous. That invites trouble, and that invites adventuring by other countries. And certainly, I suspect we'll get on to Russia and other places, you know, Russia, Syria, North Korea, other places of great concern. And this kind of chaos does not help any of that.
It does seem to me, Elizabeth Esty, that there was major substantive disagreement between this guy, Tillerson, and the president of the United States over places like Iran and whether we should stay in our agreements. And what do you think about having open disagreement on these major items with your own Secretary of State?
I can understand why anyone wants to have, you know, if you're chief executive, whether it's the President of the United States or in a company, you are going to want, at the end of the day, those disagreements to be kept internal and not external. And so I can understand that. The Secretary of State has not denied that he used them. Pretty harsh and damning language about his opinion of the president. So he can't be very surprised that he's been dismissed, as it were. But again, at the end of the day, is America needs to be a predictable and trusted ally and a resolute foe to those who wish to do us harm. And this does not help in any of that. Now, it seems like President Trump has a close working relationship with Mike Pompeo. That's probably a good thing. But I am concerned. I'll tell you, part of what I'm concerned about is because it's emerged that General Mattis, who I have a lot of respect for at the Defense Department, that he and Rex Tillerson did often sort of meet and try to hammer out positions ahead of time and try to make sure that wherever possible, the State Department and the Department of Defense were really sort of working through issues and then presenting those more jointly to the president. I think that was an important thing to do. I'm not sure that's going to happen now. And that concerns me. I think, you know, Pompeo's also a bit of a shoot from the hip kind of guy. And I think may click too well with the president, if that makes sense. You know,
makes sense to me, yeah.
You want to have some people who are not entirely in sync with you because you need to be pushed back on. Anybody does. And that's especially true with this president, who is so much governed by instinct and gut instinct rather than weighing options.
I want to ask you a question, Elizabeth Esty. I saw you the other day, very proud of you because you're one of ours, sitting up there. Well, somebody was testifying. I was flipping the channels, and there you are. What's it like? I mean, most people don't really know. We see you sit there while a hearing is going on. What are you doing? What are you thinking? What's it like to be there?
Well, I suspect the hearing was a rather spirited one involving the Secretary of Transportation, Elaine Chao, who was being grilled for 3.5 hours in front of the Transportation Committee. It was one of the more interesting hearings I've ever been participated in, and in that case, it was my first time actually being the Democratic, ranking member, so chairing for the Democratic side, chairing the entire hearing, which turned out to be exceptionally contentious, not just between Democrats and the secretary, but actually a fair number of Republicans and the secretary. You see how people handle being under fire. It also gave me a chance to have some sidebar conversations with the chairman, with Bill Schuster, which is important because, the two of us were up there for 3.5 hours, and there were some issues I wanted to talk with him about, and that gave me a chance to talk about some of the initiatives that are important for Connecticut, what his thinking is about his top priorities for the next 6 months. So that's part of what we need to do. You've got to continue moving the ball forward in some ways, and so that committee hearing was an opportunity to do that, as well as present, my pretty strong views about the deficiencies in the president's proposal, which is all talk, no action, on transportation, which is disappointing to a lot of people, including most members of Congress.
So when you're sitting there, I suppose it depends on how split it is between Republicans and how contentious it is between Republicans and Democrats. How do you get along with your chair, even though you're the ranking member?
I get along very well with Bill Schuster. He's a good man. He's been up to Connecticut a lot. I've worked with him on legislation. He's a straight shooter, and that really matters in life. I think all of us want to deal with people who are direct, who you could take at their word, and Bill's one of those guys. It's going to be a loss when he leaves Congress. Again, I look for places we can move forward. We've got a big water resources bill that's coming up. The two of us were discussing that. We've got, major pieces of legislation and how we're going to move forward on getting real funding to fix our transportation system. And he and I were talking about sort of his thoughts of how we can proceed, which I have to say is the White House is unfortunately not been helpful at all in that regard because, they've kind of dropped it, as with so many other things, guns and everything else, like dropping it in Congress's lap and say, you guys fix it. That's not leadership.
One last question and we have to go, but I wanted to ask you, these are the kinds of things that most of us mortals want to know when we see you sitting up there. Are you allowed to eat? Are you allowed to drink? Or you just sit there, or what happens?
I had a very large cup of coffee because I'd been up since 5, and I'd only found out 6 o'clock the night before that I was actually going to be chairing the meeting. So that was the first time for it's very high profile when you've got a cabinet secretary in. And I will give her credit. She went 3.5 hours straight. You've got to have endurance to be able to do that. And as I said, we had 38 members, Democrats and Republicans, who asked questions. That's a record for any committee I've been in on any topic. So it was spirited. So, yes, I had coffee and water going the whole time. And I've now learned to bring my charger for my phone when I'm there because you also have to be keeping track of what's happening in other committees. Because I had another committee. In fact, here's part of the challenge, Alan. At the same time, I had a major bill in the Veterans Committee that was having a closed-door workshop to try to get a resolution on a very important issue to expand caregiver support for veterans of the pre-9/11 era. And it's an issue near and dear to my heart. I've been working on it for a long time. The chairman had agreed to hold a workshop, and what happens? It's held at exactly the same time that I need to be chairing, this very important transportation meeting. So that is often, often the situation that I wish I could be cloned for this purpose, but it doesn't work that way. So I have to try to keep tabs when I'm in one committee with what's happening elsewhere.
The life of our Elizabeth Estey is not an easy one. Hey, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us. When we come back the next time, let's talk about some other stuff like the Mueller investigation.
Absolutely.